All right, folks, welcome to part 4B of the Olympic Ceremony Series, already in progress. When a being gets to this level, they can actually become a living planet. They can become the incarnate spirit inside of a planet. And according to their teaching, lo and behold, folks, here on Earth, the planetary logos is called Gaia. Or, in other words, Mother Nature, Mother Earth, etc., etc. So, based on the New Age, by this little trickery right here, this means that the Earth is higher than many of the other teachers that we just mentioned. The Earth is higher than Jesus. The Earth is even higher than Buddha and Krishna and Maitreya. So, with a little bit of deception and teaching, now people can worship the Earth. That makes the New Age want to worship the Earth. It means that the Earth has a conscience. It means you can pray to the Earth. It means you can make requests to the Earth. And as I noticed, in the Olympic ceremony, we saw a lot of different rituals going on. And we had Wiccan rituals. When the Maypole ritual is conducted and the ribbons are weaved around that totem pole, the participants chant prayers to Mother Earth while they're doing it. And while they're chanting their prayer, they can choose whatever name they want to call Mother Earth from a long list of pagan names. And some of the names that they choose are Ashtar, Asheroth, Isis, Diana, Aphrodite, etc., etc. They choose from the pagan names, the mythological names, or the Babylonian names going all the way back to Nimrod to worship Mother Earth. So you see, folks, how this thing becomes a soupy mix of a bunch of pagan heathenistic beliefs. But this is what we witnessed. And as I have been examining this whole topic, as I have stated, I find myself with my head spinning because it goes so deep, but so many of the things are starting to make sense now on what the end time New World Order plan is. And now that we are seeing that the mosh pit and soupy mix of Eastern religion / pagan / occultic esoteric studies is the tool that Satan's going to use to bring the world together, then my friends, I have this alarm to sound. Please know this. Being involved in any of these disciplines is very dangerous and very, very deceptive. If you have found yourself dabbling in the occult or any of these beliefs that I have mentioned, those beliefs are the invention of Satan, and their whole purpose is to get a person entrapped and into strongholds and to succumb to the delusion to the point where they become blinded to the truth of the true and living God, of salvation, of what the blood of Christ does, of sin. It blinds and deludes so that people will not deal with their sin. And here's the end result, my friends, a soul that is lost and goes into eternity without God, without Jesus, without forgiveness. Translation, the New Age is a ticket to the lake of fire. Now, moving on, after level 10, there are levels beyond the 10th initiation, and I don't want to go into the detail of that, but the different levels become words that are just silly. For example, Alice Bailey said that at level 17 is the avatar of synthesis. This is 7 levels above 10. And the avatar of synthesis is a solar logos. And this being hangs around on the sun. They live on the sun. Or in other words, they're the sun god. Level 17, folks. And the job of this level 17, quote-unquote, avatar of synthesis is to send the rays of illumination to Earth. So, according to the New Age, the universe has no limits on how many initiation levels. They say that the beings can move up several dozen layers or several hundreds of layers, or they can even go up to even several thousands of levels of initiation. Alice Bailey has said that if someone reaches the level of several thousand, then they become a cosmic logos. And a cosmic logos, in their teaching, is a being that is called Alpha and Omega. And this being has moved up through the ranks over the eons of time. So according to the New Age, I guess they earned it. So now when we examine what they believe, folks, look what Satan has done. For people that believe this stuff, they use Christian terminology. They look at the scriptures as just the writings of a teacher, and they have minimized the deity of God. Because according to the New Age, God in his form is the result of spiritual evolution. He moved up to that level. He hasn't always been God. At one time, he was just a human. He was a man. And as a man, that would mean that he went through enough lifetimes to learn the lessons through karma, which means that God sinned a few times. That also means that, according to them, Jesus did the same thing. Jesus made mistakes, and he sinned. So folks, do you see the dark, deceptive twisting of what they believe? Satan has made himself higher than the Creator, than the great I Am. And in this New Age teaching, he has even incorporated the term I Am, the I Am level, at the first initiation. Folks, I could spend so much time talking about how this thing is so devious and dark and deceptive and wrong, but this is what they believe. And the New World Order, in order for them to come to fruition, is at the very basic level, not just political, but it's a religion. And the religion of the New World Order believes that the earth goes through evolution. They believe that the inhabitants of the earth go through an evolution of the spirit. And not everybody passes the evolutionary process. Not everyone qualifies. Everyone's on probation. Now, they also believe that when ascension occurs and gets to a high enough level, then the beings become rays of light. And the rays of light are talked about a lot in New Age literature. The rays of light are powered by beings, and they also are represented as energy that bring illumination, that bring knowledge, that allow the doors of the mind, the doors of the spirit, to transcend from the natural and to open up an entire new world and universe of knowledge. It has to do with light, folks. And according to the Fraternal Order of the Freemasons, they also talk about the light, the illumination. When we looked at the Olympic ceremony, we saw the display in the light structures. The lights turned on. Illumination has come. So my question that I continually come back to is, whose illumination are they talking about? Are they saying that one of their quote-unquote ascended masters is going to return and he's going to bring the light? Are they saying that all of humanity has now got to the point where they must choose to experience the light, the mass initiation that they believe has to happen? Are they saying that their new teacher is going to come, their Maitreya, their false messiah? A lot of questions, folks, but the dark knowledge that is involved in this plan is so vast, it's so devious, it's so evil, it's so deceptive. And here's the scary part, folks. It's going to happen. The world is going to be thrust into believing this thing in a mass, corporate, universal manner. The entire world is going to be given the teaching of this. And already we see the foundation of this being played out worldwide. Because, as I said earlier, the education systems of the world have been programming the younger generations and indoctrinating them on earth worship, Earth Day, loving the earth. They've indoctrinated our children that there's no God. They've indoctrinated our children with mysticism. They've indoctrinated our children to seek pleasure, that there's no moral right and wrong. But instead, there is yin and yang. There's karma. And folks, this thing is happening. It has been going on for a while now. So here we are. In summary, we're looking at the recent events of the Olympic ceremony. And we couple that with a lot of the other things that they said, when we include the ritual that they went through, and then we include all the hints, the clues, the announcements that were obvious, and the messages that were cryptic and secretive. There were so many layers of their dark ritual, because that's what it is, folks. It was a ritual with a surface, and then under that it became the subsurface message, and then further on down it became the revelation of their secrets. Now, folks, let's talk about Vulcan. I know that I said that I was going to speak about him, and then I digressed talking about the initiation beliefs of the New Age. But I need to do this because we're building on what they believe, and then we have to examine piece by piece the roles that each of these elements are going to play in these end times. Now, as I have examined the teachings of their beliefs of theosophy, where evolution takes place and humans can become ascended masters, part of me wants to conclude and argue that even though this may appeal to some people out there, how can it appeal to the general population? How can it appeal to everyone? You see, folks, I find myself asking those questions because during normal times, I really don't think it can. I think that during normal seasons, for the most part, you have to really find people who are in a select category of lifestyle or of foundational beliefs to really fall for this, to believe this type of lie. It takes a unique individual that has already been prepared and programmed with foundational beliefs to fall for this New Age belief. But in the end times, the Bible tells us that it's going to happen. We can read in Revelation 13, the whole world is going to come together. They're going to worship this new end time empire, and they're going to come together and go along with the end time religious system. So between now and then, what would cause this? That's what I wonder about, folks. Is there going to be some mass hypnosis occur? Are they going to put some kind of drug in the water? Are they going to spray the whole world with something to make them believe this? What is it going to be, folks? And if we were to examine this away from the spiritual aspect, we can be left wondering and speculating in a lot of different categories. Yeah, it's going to be through signals in the TV or signals on the radio, or it's going to be through subliminal brainwashing. Maybe they're going to put a signal on all the cell phones. And you see, folks, we can go on and come up with a lot of different ideas, but that's scientific. And this thing is not just limited to science. This thing is spiritual. And if we look at the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we can see and read why it happens. In chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, look what it says, folks. If you have your Bible, please turn there. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, number one, power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. So the way that this teaching is going to be given to the whole world is through power, signs, and lying wonders. This is spiritual. Verse 10 tells us it's an unrighteous deception that those who are perishing will believe. So if a person is going to go to hell, if a person doesn't love God, they're going to believe this. And it goes on. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. What's the love of the truth? The gospel of Jesus that tells us that we are all sinners and that we need a savior, that we have sin. And the price that Jesus paid on the cross was to pay for the sins of the world. It was the blood of Jesus' sacrifice as the Lamb of God that gives us our salvation. And the believers and followers of the New Age want none of this, folks. I don't want to believe in a Savior. I don't want to believe in sin. I like the New Age way better. I want to move up and experience the evolution of my spirit. It goes on. And for this reason, God will send them. Now look at this, folks. A what? Strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So it's going to be a delusion. This is spiritual, folks. This delusion is going to be some kind of dark cloud of deception. It's going to be some kind of cloak that is going to come upon the entire world. And those that do not love the truth are going to be blinded. And they're going to believe the delusion. So here's what we have so far. Today, late summer of 2012, I'm talking about the Olympic ceremony that just occurred. And I submit this to you, folks. During that Olympic ceremony, we witnessed a ritual that released powers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness that released the demons and the devils and the fallen angels that are going to play a role in bringing the giant cloak of delusion over this entire planet. And that ceremony was the commencement, the beginning of the release of these dark forces. Because during the ceremony, folks, I saw the portals open. Over and over, I saw representations of gateways that were open to the underworld, to the netherworld. And I saw representations and ritualistic symbolism that allowed forces of darkness to come upon the surface of the land, to be released among us. It was in plain sight, folks. And based on what I'm saying right here, I believe that the delusion has begun. What's the delusion going to be? The delusion is going to be this end-time New World Order religion. And its foundation is going to be based on what I just shared just now, the teachings of ascended masterhood. Now, why would the world go for this? Now, think about this, folks. When we take this teaching that competes with Christianity, and if we were to examine them side by side, if a person is deluded and they want to please their flesh and they have an ego and they have pride and they don't want to deal with their sin and they don't want to be humble, and they want to instead be glorified, if they want to be rewarded, then there is an appeal to the New Age teaching. Because according to the New Age, instead of you being a person that has to bow down and worship the Creator Jesus, if you follow the satanic way, you yourself can be a God. You yourself will know the secrets of the universe. You will not surely die, as Satan said. Instead, you will be equal to God. You'll know what he knows. You'll have superpowers. You'll be an X-Man. You see, folks, there is a mystical appeal to the New Age, and it has to do with the foundation of selfishness, the foundation of pride, the foundation of I am, instead of acknowledging that he is the I am. Now, as we read, when this delusion occurs, God is going to allow it to happen. It says God is going to send a delusion. Now, I mentioned Vulcan. Now, let's talk about Vulcan. According to the New Age, Vulcan is not only the entity that I have already mentioned, the worker of metal and iron, but according to the New Age, Vulcan is much more than that. Vulcan is an ascended master entity that has his own planet. He's way up there according to the New Age, folks. In fact, Alice Bailey, in her writings, has stated that there is another planet that we can't see with the naked eye because it's invisible. The only way you can see it is observe its spiritual aura. But this planet is inside the orbit of Mercury. It's very close to the sun. It's very hot. And this planet is the planet Vulcan. And it's not just a planet, it's an entity. It's a quote-unquote God. Now, if I were to stop there, it sounds silly. It sounds like, really, Nathan, they believe this? Yes, they do, but it goes further. Now, watch this, folks. They believe that since Vulcan was the fashioner of metal, the creator of weapons, the creator of things, and they believe that since Vulcan was an architect of pandemonium, of hell, and has those qualities, they also believe that Vulcan has the power to create and the power to influence and the power to share energy. And according to their writings, they say that the power and energy of Vulcan can come into our reality and it can be experienced at the chakra level. Now, I haven't spoken about the chakras. That's coming in a future program, but the chakras, real quick, are the 7 levels of energy that the New Age believes in. And they start at the base of the spine and they go up and they're numbered. Number 1 is at the base of the spine. Number 7 is at the crown of the head. Number 6 is the third eye and the forehead. And number 5 is the throat, the chakra of the throat. The chakra of the throat is also known as the blue chakra or the chakra of Lucifer. And in order to experience the chakras, meditation needs to happen and there needs to be the allowance to allow the red kundalini serpent to twist up the spine and to illuminate every chakra level and then come out the chakra of the throat. So in summary, part of their belief system involves meditating so that the kundalini / Satan / Lucifer / snake demon can inhabit the body and come out the throat. Translation, the people are allowing Satan and demons to possess them. So they believe this, folks. Now, Alice Bailey has said that one of the most important things that's about to happen to planet Earth is going to be that all humanity is, as a corporate group in mass, is going to go through the initiation altogether to go to level 1. All humans right now are on probation, according to them, and as the age of Aquarius comes, all humans must participate in the initiation, and they must pass. But in order to participate in the initiation, then the people also need to open up their chakras. They have to participate in meditation. They have to allow the kundalini to happen to them. They have to allow the serpent to come up their spine and come out of them. So in other words, to go through the initiation, you need to allow a demon spirit to come into your body. Now, they don't call the spirits demons. They call it the energy, the force, the ascended master ray of light. You see, folks, Satan has deceived the reality of what we know as evil and given them new titles that they believe. Now, since 2 Thessalonians tells us that God's going to send a delusion, when we look at the teachings of the New Age, folks, part of the delusion is that the world is going to altogether allow Satan to send demons to possess them. This is part of the initiation. And one of the spirits that's going to play one of the most pivotal roles in this is the spirit entity Vulcan. Now, during the Olympics, I shared about Vulcan, Tubal-Cain, and his resume of abilities. Well, now he's also going to play a role in the grand initiation because, according to them, he has energy that streams from him, and his energy needs to be allowed to embody the initiates that are on probation. And as his energy is allowed to come into the initiate's body, then the energy is going to bring about the death of their body in order that their soul may be set free. Now, they have announced that some people do not understand this. There are some of those that are troublemakers. In other words, the Christians, the church, those that believe in the true and living God. They have stated that they know that not everyone's going to fall for this. So it's going to be Vulcan's job to, if the people do not fall for it, Vulcan will need to destroy their body. Now, folks, here's where it gets concerning and a little spooky. Many New Age writers right now are talking about this initiation that's coming. And many of them are on record and have stated that since the initiation process is not always successful 100%, because it really can't be, because some of the initiates haven't lived enough lives, or maybe they're having a problem with their karma, or maybe they haven't figured it out. So not everyone can qualify for the grand corporate initiation. And if they cannot do it, then they're going to need another life to do it, which means that the earth is going to cleanse itself of these ones that are not ready. And here's some of the things that they're saying, folks. I perceive on a mass scale that the New Age is not going to come into being as so many people believe and wish to believe. I see it as requiring a lot of blood, disruption, chaos, and pain for the mass change to occur. Now, that was in one of their magazines in 1987. Here's another one. This is from Benjamin Cream, the New Age guru. He said in his book, The Reappearance of Christ, man must change or die. There's no other course. Here's another quote. Those who fall back to old-time religions are trying to hide in the past. Such timidity is unacceptable. Here's another quote. The New Age will bring joy and happiness unexcelled since the days of Atlantis. But only those whose minds are open to the reality of one world will be around to enjoy this wondrous era. You see, folks, we have to have our minds brainwashed and diluted to participate in the New World initiation. Here's a quote from Barbara Marx Hubbard. I've spoken about her several times in my programs. Here's what she said. No worldly peace can prevail until the self-centered members of the planetary body either change or die. Now, according to her, those that are self-centered are the Christians. Those self-centered ones, they're the ones that are the cause of the problem. They need to change or die. Here's what else she said, folks. That is the choice. Destruction to those who refuse to be born into God-centered universal life. Only the God-centered will survive to inherit the powers of a universal species. It must be done for the sake of the future of the whole, and so be it. Be prepared for the selection process, which is now beginning. Now watch this, folks. This is spooky. She goes on. We will use whatever means we must to make this act of destruction as quick and painless as possible to the one half of the world who are capable of evolving. So according to her own words, half of the world does not deserve to go into the New World Order. And what's the world population now? Here's another quote from Alice Bailey. Death is not a disaster to be feared. The work of the destroyer is not cruel or undesirable. Therefore, there is much destruction permitted by the custodians of the plan, and much evil turned into good. The confirmation is continual, folks. The New World Order is not just a benign, feel-good, kumbaya, socialist order where everyone is equal and everyone has a job and everything's great. The New World Order is based on a religion that isolates only those that will comply with their religion. In his book, Maitreya's Mission, Benjamin Cream said, those who remain adamant will eventually find themselves in the minority and will have to live with it or withdraw from this life. They will find it impossible, however, to halt the momentum of change and eventually will have to adapt to the new conditions. The alternative is annihilation. And then Alice Bailey said in her book, now one of the writings of Alice Bailey is called The Externalization of the Hierarchy, and the hierarchy in this title means the Ascended Masters. The externalization means that they show up, that their teachings show up. They become incarnate among us. So this is the long-awaited dream of the New Age, for the hierarchy Ascended Masters to show up and give us the secrets. And in her book, which she wrote in the 1930s, under the satanic influence, demon possession of an evil spirit, and one of the things she said in this book was, we are told that light and love and power and death must be invoked to fulfill the purpose of the coming one. So folks, I could go on sharing these writings, but they're too disturbing to dwell on. But the bottom line of what I'm sharing right here is this crazy, cartoony, comic book type New Age belief of reincarnation and becoming a superhero, ascended master god, is the invention of Satan, and it's going to be the foundational belief of the coming era of the New World Order. And it's going to be the foundational religion that's going to cause what we read in Revelation when it comes to Christians being beheaded. Now, I want to talk about that for a moment. And as I said earlier on this program, there are many Bible teachers that are out there that present how Bible prophecy is going to play out. And I noticed the pattern that many of these ideologies and interpretations continue to be recycled over and over in the evangelical church. And as I have examined some of these interpretations, I want to say this, folks. While it's possible that they could play out in the way that we've been presented, for example, the Antichrist is going to show up and tell everybody he's God and sit in the temple and everyone's going to worship him. And to show and signify that you acknowledge him as the world leader, you get the mark of the beast. Now, that's the traditional interpretation. However, let me present a different idea. Because as I have been looking at the teachings of the New Age, and as we just read, the religion of theosophy and initiation makes a promise to all the participants that they can become God. So as I have been looking at this, when we saw the Olympic ceremony and they showed us that the New Age teacher, the end time leader, their Messiah is either a baby or he's about to be born or he's already a child, or he's a full-grown 80-foot-tall sorcerer. Whichever one he is, they showed us that that thing's already in motion. So based on that, folks, I believe that the wheels are turning. I don't know how long it's going to take for this thing to all come together. I don't know how long it's going to take for this creepy guy to show up, the little horn. I don't know. But they've let us know that it's happening. So based on that, if this guy shows up, according to what we read in Revelation 13, it says, I saw the beast rise up out of the sea, 7 heads, 10 horns. And then it said, I saw another beast with the horns of a lamb, but it spoke like the dragon. So that's a religious deception. And then it goes on to say that it causes all small and great, rich and poor to receive a mark, to worship the beast. So we're going to see a shift at some point in the future where the whole world is told to worship the beast. Now, I want to compare the ideology that we've all been told that the Antichrist is going to demand worship. Now, that one we know about. I don't have to go into that. Well, I want to present you with a different ideology, one that maybe a lot of people haven't thought about. If you still have your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll give you a chance to turn. Now, this passage of Scripture has been interpreted as meaning that the quote-unquote Antichrist is going to go into the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem and claim he's God, and then everyone's going to worship him. I want to examine this from a different point of view. Now, before you send me your emails and explain to me that Hal Lindsey's correct, just know this. I have examined the traditional view, but as I have stated many times, I maintain that Bible prophecy is going to be given to us by a curveball thrown by God himself, and it's not going to play out how we think. Some parts might, but some parts will not. So let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm reading from the King James, and also let me share this. If you have your Bible and you have a King James or a New King James, I don't know what the other translations do, but I do know that the King James and the New King James will do this. Sometimes when the translators gave us a verse, in order to help the idea be more understandable, they added other words. And the words that they added are in italics. So that means that we cannot take a word that is in italics and say that that's either the word of God or establish a doctrine based on an italicized word, because that is not in the canonized original text that we get the Bible from. I'm saying that because as I read these verses, there are some italicized words, and I'm saying that so that we can re-examine this verse from a different point of view. Now, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3, Paul says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Now, that day shall not come is in italics, so that's not even in the original. The translators place that in there, and as a result, we have a lot of people that have built an entire theology and doctrine around the words, "that day shall not come," when it's not even in the original, folks. It's not there. So let's take it out and read the verse. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So number one, what do we have? We have, don't be deceived. Number two, a falling away is going to happen. Number three, man of sin will be revealed. Number four, the man of sin is the son of perdition. Now, the popular interpretation of this verse is that this is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the man of sin that's going to be revealed, who is also the son of perdition. And when he is revealed, he is going to do what verse 4 says. Now, what does it say? It says, "who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So the tradition says the Antichrist is going to oppose and exalt himself above God. He's going to claim to be God. He's going to walk into the temple and claim he's God. And after that happens, he's going to tell the whole world, "I'm God, worship me, receive the mark." That's the traditional belief. But ladies and gentlemen, I propose that it may mean something else entirely. Now, in verse 3, it says there's going to be a falling away. Now, that one's easy. Jesus told us that in Matthew 24, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. We know that part. But the mystery is what comes after that. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, when we look at the original words in the Greek for "that man of sin," it becomes a little bit more interesting, because the words that the translators chose to use seems to point toward the theology of this being the Antichrist. But that's not the only way that this translation could have resulted in. For example, when we look at the words, "the falling away comes first, and that man," the Greek word for "that man" is anthropos, which gives us the word anthropology. It's the study of man, of people, of mankind. Now, that word anthropos can mean several things. It can mean man, angels. It could mean in the plural of people. So it's not just limited to a male gender of the species. It means a human being, a person, whether male or female. So as we're examining this verse, I want to just temporarily, instead of saying "that man," why don't we look at it temporarily as people in general, as mankind. Now, the word right before "man" says "that." When we look at the original, that word "that's" not even in the original, folks. So the falling away comes first, and the people of sin. Now, the word for sin comes from the Greek word hamartia, so that one's okay. So now we have the people of sin be revealed. Now, that word for revealed is an interesting word. It's the word apocalypto. That word means to uncover, to disclose, to make bare, to make known, to become manifested. It can mean a variety of things. So what we have so far, that the people of sin are made known, are revealed. And then let's move on. The son of perdition. That word for son. Now, this is something that's interesting. The son is from the Greek word huios, and that's spelled H-U-I-O-S. And that can mean a literal son, or it could mean the young of animals. And according to the Strong's Concordance, it's generally used for the offspring of men, the children of men. So what do we have so far? There shall be a falling away come first, and then the people of sin will be revealed, the children of perdition. And perdition means destruction, it means perishing, it means damnation, eternally condemned in hell. So now what do we have? We have the people of sin will be revealed, the children of destruction. Now, for some of you that are saying, Nathan, what are you talking about? Why are you rewording it like that? Folks, please know this. I am using the original words that we can find in the Greek. And I want to propose this. Is it possible that when the translators in 1611 translated the King James Bible, that they had already been influenced with the teaching of the coming Antichrist? And because they had been influenced, did they choose to word it in such a manner to make this describe one individual person? Because what I'm doing right here is proposing this. What if this verse isn't just talking about one man? What if it's talking about a group of people in the end times that are all going to do something collectively and corporately that's going to be so horrible that God is writing about it right here? Now, when we look at the next verse, what is the horrible sin? Look what it is, folks. Now, the popular interpretation for this passage is that the Antichrist is going to say, I am God. Worship me. But what if this is talking about everybody? What if this is talking about an end time religious ceremony where the people believe that they are God? Now, based on what we've been talking about this whole program, I believe you can see where I'm going with this. When we look at the New Age teaching that the entire planet is going to experience an en masse initiation, when this event is translated to the man and woman on the street, what does it mean? According to what the New Age says, the people on the street that are going to cooperate with this New Age plan are going to acknowledge the initiation. That means that they are aware that in order to be initiated, they are moving up one level in the evolutionary chain of the spirit of man, which takes them to the level of initiation, level number one, which is also the same level as the I am presence level. So in other words, humans will claim that they are gods in development. Now, folks, I find it interesting that this verse actually follows along with the New Age plan of Alice Bailey and Benjamin Creeman and all of those other false teachers. So if this verse is saying the day is not going to come until there's a falling away, and then the people of sin are going to be revealed, the children of perdition, and then it goes on. What are they going to do? Look at verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, when we look at the beginning of this verse, here's another interesting thing that the translators did. In verse 4, it says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. In the original Greek, the words exalteth himself in the original do not mean exalteth himself. They only mean exalteth. In other words, the word himself is not in the original. So the meaning of this verse is premeditated to point to the Antichrist, to one person. But ladies and gentlemen, it does not say this. So now when we look at the verse, it's talking about what the people in verse 3 did. The people of sin will be revealed, the sons of perdition, who oppose and exalt above all that is called God. Folks, I don't think it's talking about one person. It's talking about a group of people who oppose and exalt it above all that is called God. Now that part's correct. Or that is worshipped, so that, now watch this, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, when we look at the original of he, that word he comes from the Greek word autos. And in the New Testament, that word is used over 2,000 times. And it can mean himself, herself, themselves, itself, he, she, it. And it can also mean there or they. So the verse can actually mean so that they as God sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Again, that word himself comes from the Greek word heotu. And that word means himself, themselves, yourselves, ourselves, his, they. It can mean plural. This is what I'm saying, folks. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 have been translated to signify that it's talking about one person. But I'm asking the question, and I'm proposing, what if it doesn't mean just one person? What if it means a group of people? What if it means an end-time event where human beings on planet Earth at the end of time are going to claim themselves to be God? All of them. Now, I know that this is a different way of looking at the end-time teaching, but based on what we know the New Age is going to expect from the inhabitants of the world, they expect every living human, if they want to stay alive, to be initiated. And by its very nature, by its very foundational meaning, to be initiated means evolution of the spirit toward godhood. That also means that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3, and 4 would be fulfilled. Now, here's the other thing I want to present. As we look down in this chapter, he says, remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he's taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Now, from verse 6, 7, and 8, it's saying, now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. The traditional view is that this is the end time Antichrist. Let's go ahead and maintain that. Let's say that this is the end time leader. And when we compare this to the New Age talks about both of these things. They believe that the New Age Maitreya is going to show up, who is Buddha in the flesh, Christ in the flesh, Krishna in the flesh, etc., etc. But they believe that this figurehead, this ascended master, is going to show up on the planet, and he's going to reveal the secrets. Now, when these ascended masters show up, they continually talk about how to be initiated, how the New Age exists, and how all the participants get to move up in the evolutionary channel of godhood. So in other words, the New Age guru ascended master demons tell the New Agers that they can be God. And so the New Agers write about these things, and they publish books, and they have blogs on the internet, and they have radio programs, and they talk about all this stuff. But what they are expecting to happen is different than what we've been presented in the Hal Lindsey books. Because in the Hal Lindsey books, the end time Antichrist person shows up, but he alone claims to be God. And when you consider that presentation and you compare it to the New Age presentation of, okay, the New Age guru shows up and he lets everybody know that he's an ascended master, so he himself is in the God category, but it doesn't stop there. You also can be included in the God category. You yourself can be a God. So in other words, the end time guru is saying, it's not only me that's going to be a God, but you're going to be a God. You can do this yourself. And folks, when you think about it, this is actually the way that Satan presents his deception. He doesn't just present it from the standpoint of, here's this creature, worship him, and if you don't worship him, you die and get punished. That's not how Satan does it. Satan dangles the carrot in front of the humans. He dangles carnal pleasure. He dangles power. He dangles a massaging to the human ego. You can be God. So if you join our new religion, you will be a God. So ladies and gentlemen, in summary, I am proposing that when this end time leader shows up, this end time false messiah, he's going to offer a teaching that's going to revolutionize the religions of the world. He's going to offer some sort of diluted, deceptive, New Age packaged promise of a lot of things. And when he shows up, according to scripture, he says with lying signs and wonders. So this creature, when they show up, is going to be possessed by Satan, and he's going to have the ability to do miracles. Now, the New Age says that as humans initiate and ascend into the higher and higher levels, they gain the ability of clairvoyance, mind reading, psychic ability, telekinesis. They can move things with their minds. They become bulletproof. Basically, they become X-Men. They become superheroes. And right now in these end times, folks, have you noticed that there are a lot of TV shows and Hollywood movies about that very thing? There's a lot of movies that are showing humans that have these ascended abilities. movies that mix mythology with science, with the paranormal, with New Age religion. I know that right now, where we are in the year 2012, late summer, there are a lot of people that do not know about the initiation. There are a lot of people in the United States, in Europe, probably in South America, that do not know that this religion is possible. There are a lot of people that don't know what the New Age thinks. But according to the Bible, in Revelation 13, it says that the beast and the false prophet, the second beast, is going to do a fast-track teaching to the residents of the world, and they're going to deceive the whole world with signs and wonders. And then right here in 2 Thessalonians, we also read that the people that do not believe the truth are going to believe a lie. They're going to be deluded. And Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, is going to deceive those that are unrighteous. So even though there are many that do not know about this, when the time is right, according to what we read here in 2 Thessalonians, and he that is restraining is taken out of the way, and by the way, that's a whole other message. There's a lot of speculation on what that is, and we'll talk about that at some point in the future. But for right now, this is what the Bible tells us. At some portion of the timeline of humanity, the entire world, planet Earth, is going to cross over into a new chapter. And when that chapter happens, the world's going to find itself witnessing the prophecies of the book of Revelation. And included in those prophecies, we're going to see a lot of amazing, miraculous, scary, terrifying, etc., etc., events that are going to shake the strongest person to their very core, because they're going to be so unbelievable. When these things happen, there is going to be an end time person, a little horn, a false messiah. It's going to rise up, and he's going to convince the world that they can be gods just like he is. And he's going to display miracles and say, see what I can do? You can do the same thing. All you have to do is be a part of this initiation. Here's how you do it. And he's going to train the world how to be illuminated, how to understand the dark arts. The entire world's going to find itself in a crash course to learn this stuff. Now, up to this point on this planet, we probably have at least one-third of the world that would walk right into this. They have no problem with the New Age teachings because it lines up very close to what they believe. I already mentioned India. That's 1 billion people right there. They will have no problem with this. So when the New World Order presents this new religion and says, in order to be a part of this new religion, if you are an initiate of the New Age, then you get to participate in the New Age. If you resist the New Age, then you don't get to participate. If you happen to be a Christian that has faith in those vintage beliefs of antiquity about Jesus and God and the Bible, you will not be initiated. So folks, when I look at this whole possibility, the pieces start coming together. Because then when we look at the Mark of the Beast, when we look at it from the old school point of view, that the Mark of the Beast shows that you worship the Antichrist. What about this other possibility? What if the Mark of the Beast is actually the signature that people will take willingly because it's their initiation brand? Because it signifies that they are a part of the initiation, and it signifies that they have accepted it, they're excited about it, they want to be a part of this new evolutionary chain of transhumanism where people will move up in the mystical ladder of existence. They're going to be all over this thing. Therefore, the Mark of the Beast will not be something that's done out of fear, but instead the Mark of the Beast will be something that is prized. It'll be a trophy. It'll be a token, a signature to show that they are proud of their new revelation. And the reason that they're proud of it is because they will be so blinded to believe that they can be equal to God. Now, when the Bible says that the mark would be either on the right hand or the forehead, when we look at the forehead is the level 6 location of the Kundalini chakra. It's the third eye. It's the eye of illumination. It's that red dot that the Hindus get. It's the eye of the rays of power and the rays of light and the energy to achieve godhood. The third eye. And that is why the choice of the mark is either going to be in the forehead or the right hand. Now, when we consider that Jesus told us there's going to be a great falling away, they're going to be deceived because they didn't love the truth. So what that tells us is there's going to be people that did attend church, they're going to hear this New Age guru nonsense, and they're going to fall for it. And I was thinking about how could Christians that at one time worshiped God fall for this? And would they really want the third eye mark on their forehead? And it got me to thinking, I was talking to my son about it, my 12-year-old son, and I asked him, I said, why do you think there's going to be a choice of the right hand or forehead? I was amazed. My little son Ethan told me, he said, well, Dad, perhaps the people will have the choice because to some people, receiving the mark on the forehead is a little bit too dark. It's too occultic because it represents the third eye, the chakra. This is what my son told me. And the reason he knew this is because I've been sharing a lot of the notes of what I'm finding out in this study that I'm doing. So I've been informing my family. I've been sitting down because I want them knowing about this stuff. So Ethan said, Dad, what if to Christians that want to take this mark and they want to be initiated, maybe the chakra is too dark for them. So maybe having it on their right hand won't seem so bad. And I got to thinking about that, folks. And, you know, is that possible? Is it possible that the presentation of the mark will be given to not sound as bad? And as I was earlier explaining the initiations, and we were discussing how the New Age seems to borrow and steal a lot of the same terminologies from the church, from Christianity, is it possible that they're going to make a presentation of this thing that will sound so appealing that even Christians will fall for it? According to the Masonic beliefs and the quote-unquote plan, part of their big plan is to infiltrate the churches. According to the writings of Alice Bailey in the Lodge of the Masters, she said, prior to the coming of the Christ, adjustments will be made so that at the head of all great organizations will be found either a master, which is an ascended master, or an initiate who has taken the third initiation. And at the head of certain great occult groups and Freemasons of the world, they're going to have masters. And also of the various great divisions of the church, they're going to have their masters embedded, sharing the teachings. Now, folks, this plan has been in motion for a long time. Satan has been at this a long time. And when we look at the condition of the church today, and we start examining how there are some churches that you see what they're presenting, and you see what they talk about, you see what they preach, and you're left scratching your head saying, what in the world are they thinking? There are some churches that are just sharing things that are not biblical, they're not holy, they're anti-God, they're borderline blasphemy, they're impure, they're immoral. And one of the most popular movements that the church world is witnessing today is the megachurch, Saddleback, purpose-driven emergent church movement. And according to what I have been able to uncover, the New Age deception has already infiltrated a lot of large denominations. There are people in leadership that have ties to the New Age. And when I say to the New Age, I'm also including the Masonic Lodge, the Freemasons, the Illuminati, the Council on Foreign Relations. And it doesn't stop there, folks. This transcends many denominations that some of you hold dear. This thing's all over the map, folks. Now, what we're talking about right here could take many, many sermons. It could take many episodes, many segments. Could take a long time to talk about it in a huge Bible study. And as God allows me to continue this series, I plan to bring more and more of this information to the forefront. And one of the things that is coming to the forefront is that in the end times, the New Age is going to be full of blasphemy. The New Age is going to claim to be God. And when we look at the prophecies in the Bible, when we look at the book of Daniel and Thessalonians and Timothy and Revelation, we continue to see over and over the reoccurring theme of blasphemy. And one of the ways that this is going to be fulfilled is that the end time religion, the mystery of iniquity, which by the way, the New Agers also call the mystery, this end time deception is going to play a role in blaspheming God by convincing and deceiving the entire world to think that they can also be God. Folks, when we look at all of the pieces and we start bringing them together, the truth is beginning to reveal itself. End time blasphemy. It is not just going to be the quote-unquote end time leader, the Antichrist, who is going to blaspheme God alone. But when we see those verses about the end time leader blaspheming God, in addition to him claiming to be an ascended master, he's also going to blaspheme God. The New World Order Empire, the beast, the final confederation of nations is going to also blaspheme God, because the worldwide religion will include the belief that the citizens can also be God. And that right there, my friends, is blasphemy. That right there is going to be the mystery of iniquity that we've all read about and that we've all heard about. And here it is, coming to the forefront. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this was a long message. I have a lot of other things that I need to share. But as I'm examining all of these matters, I decided I really needed to go deep with this one, because as I'm looking at the landscape, as I'm looking at what's out there, as I'm looking at the appearances of dark clouds that are gathering, and as I'm looking at what the world has announced, my concern is that the people of God would be aware of what they have in store. Because if this initiation does take place the way that I presented it, and if we as Christians are told that we have the choice of either complying or denying this new evolution, folks, is there really a choice? The book of Revelation says they did not love their lives even unto death, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We need to get to that place where we can see that those that are willing to give up their life will find it. But we're going to find it in a better place. And if it means that we have to lay down our lives while we're here on this planet, then so be it. And if it means that we have to choose, then so be it. We choose Him. As the days are progressing, if the end times are getting that close, we need to be ready for this thing. We need to be secure in our hearts. We need to be determined and have it settled beforehand that we're not going to take part in this initiation. We are not going to claim to be God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 47, and I'll close with this, there's a prophecy about Babylon. This prophecy was written for the end times, because as I'm reading it, folks, listen to the wording that Isaiah wrote down under the inspiration. And it's going to show that it matches up to what the end time New Age movement wants to do. In verse 8, "Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your hearts," now watch this, folks, "I am, and there is no one besides me." Now, folks, did you see that? If you have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah 47. Look at this for yourself. The first level of initiation is the I am level. The New Age tells people, you can be I am. Right here, God is saying, "Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I have the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments." You see, folks, in the end times, sorcery is going to be all over the place. Magic, New Age mysticism, the occult. And God is calling it out right here in this prophecy, in these words. This is talking about our time, folks. This is what's coming. "For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me." By the way, when I was reading what they believe with the initiations, did you notice how dumb it sounded? I mean, folks, let's be honest here. Really? They're going to move up on all these levels? And really, we can't see that it's Satan? There are people that believe this nonsense, but look what it says right here. "Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you." The very counsel of the end time New Age movement has so blinded the people that they are warped, and God sees it. He tells them that they're warped because they think that they can be God? Really? God's looking down from heaven and he's trying not to laugh, or perhaps he is laughing. Really? You're saying that the earth is Gaia and it's above me? That's what God says. God laughs at that. The earth is level 10 in the initiate list and God's below that? You know what, folks? Our Bible says that heaven is the Lord's throne and the earth is his footstool. His footstool, his creation. He spoke it from nothing, and he hung it in the sky. But one day he's going to burn it, and it's going to be destroyed, and he's going to shake it. These things are coming upon us, folks. These things are within the range of our focus. These things need to be understood, and these things need to be prepared for. Isaiah goes on, "Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you, and you have said in your heart, 'I am,'" there it is again, "and there's none besides me." See, God's calling them out. You think that you're going to call yourself I am, the great I am? I don't think so. Therefore, verse 11, "Therefore evil shall come upon you, and you shall not know from where it arises, and trouble shall fall upon you. You will not be able to pull it off, and desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know." Verse 12, "Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries, in which you have labored from your youth, and perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail, but you are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you now." See, God is telling them, really, you're going to worship the stars? You're going to put faith in my creation? You're going to put faith in the planets? You're going to put faith in your occult? Well, let it save you now. "Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. And it shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored. Your merchants from your youth, they shall wander each one to his quarter, and no one shall save you." So ladies and gentlemen, even though what I'm presenting here may sound scary, and even though it may sound disturbing, yes, the earth is going to come up with a crazy plan. Yes, the end time New World Order and the New Age and all these mystical ones are going to have one last deceptive attempt at their green earth. They're going to fail. And yes, for a season, God's going to allow them to overcome the saints. But ladies and gentlemen, God's going to have the last word, and he's going to be our rescuer. He's going to be one that sees us through. He's going to be the one that helps you to endure. He's going to be the one that gives you your power in your weakness. He's going to be the one that brings you comfort, and he's the one that can give you peace in the midst of the storm. My friends, he restores souls. Let's trust in him no matter what happens. And ladies and gentlemen, as we are looking at all of these things, let us have the faith of Peter that would look at Jesus and say, "Jesus, where else could I go? For you have the words of eternal life." Heavenly Father, I ask that you would comfort each soul listening. And I know that these words may seem hard to bear. They may seem like a heavy load, but God, in the midst of the challenge of what we see coming, let us find your strength and let us see that it's only through your power that we will be able to overcome, no matter what. Thank you, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is part 4 of this series. I want to encourage you to continue to share these programs with everyone that you know. If you haven't seen the previous episodes, you can go to watchmanscry.com, and I have them there on the audio page in the table of contents. Well, folks, thank you for listening. Remember us in your prayers, remember us in your support, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The field is white and frosty, the hour is drawing near. The battle lines are being drawn as the hour of dawn appears. In the stillness of the morning, the air is crisp and charged with the tension of the battle and the enemy at large. The battlefield is crowded, but the soldiers here are few. Yet the enemy is held at bay, no weapon can get through. Our tiny band of warriors continue in our stand. And as new soldiers join us, we prepare to take the land. We form a line of conquest, like fire our armor shines. With unshakable advancement, we move against the line. Our swords are drawn and ready, and our numbers grow each day. We'll soon be fully strengthened, and we'll blow the troops away. Of the Father of all life, and the enemy is forced to flee before our very eyes. For no demon can resist us or begin to stand against, and all